we shall go now to the ICT strategy. And can I start this with a question, if you don't mind?
Of course.
Why have we got ICS and then ICT? Because some are calling them ICS and some is ICT, so...
Well, the strategy is called ICS,
right?
But there isn't a specific right or wrong, I think people call it.
Okay, that's fine then, because I'm not technically minded, so I didn't want to make a faux pas and call it the wrong one.
No.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So, I'm going to go down the same format. So the strategy was developed and approved back in May 2016, so we're now in the third year of the strategy. And again, the same way with the customer service strategy, it's got main themes. So the first one being around the customer agenda, to enable customers to access the council services online and have their requirements fulfilled where practical through digital solutions. There's a business agenda, to enable the council services to make effective use and obtain maximum benefit from the use of ICT. And there's a technical agenda, to provide a robust, reliable, effective and resilient infrastructure for the efficient delivery of ICT. And this is where I'll say you will see themes from the customer services coming through on here. And so just to sort of pre-warn you in terms of that. So as we focus on the customer agenda, which is obviously the one closest linked to the customer service strategy, and this is about enabling customers to access council services online, have their requirements fulfilled where practical through digital solutions. So the development of the online self-service portal that I've talked about previously is done by our IT team. So we have specialist technical officers in there who are the ones that are actually building that for us. So although it's coming out of the customer service strategy, it's a requirement from the ICT team in order to actually deliver that on our behalf. So they've been working for a number of months now in order to do that. They've also created and done all the necessary work in terms of upgrading our telephony system, which has brought about additional functionality that not only benefits the customer, obviously benefits the organisation as well. So it's given us a greater level of resilience, but it's also brought new functionality in terms of it's the phone system that gives us the web chat, the call recording, better queuing facilities, more flexible in terms of what we want to do, but also allows us to implement things like our mobile working, where we can make it easier for customers to call us and for officers to be able to work out and about in the district and calls to go where they need to go. We mentioned prior to this that the website upgrade, and again that was supported by the customer, sorry, the ICT team, in terms of making sure that all fitted and was secure and safe, and we could deploy all of our things like payments, etc., in that environment. It'll be the ICT team that will implement the web chat facility that we're doing, and we'll be supporting that, as well as the call recording that I've previously mentioned. And also, prior to us doing that, they will be introducing a new piece of software that will allow us to continue taking card payments by phone. But there's a set of requirements we have to meet around data security for that. So they'll be implementing a new solution on the phones to enable us to meet those requirements and continue taking phones and make sure our customers' data is secure. So that's something that we're expecting to be implemented over the coming 2 months, I would suggest. So all of those things underpin the things that we've just been talking about in terms of customer strategy. Okay. Moving on to the business agenda, which is enabling us to make effective use of our systems and get maximum benefit. We do have a quarterly meeting of the ICT steering group. That's made up of the chief executive, the directors, and also a number of heads of service. And what we do there in that group is monitor the progress of the delivery of the ICT strategy. So we have a highlight report, it goes through all of actions that have taken place, any issues that are coming up, make any decisions as necessary to move on. And underneath the ICT steering group, we also have an ICT user group, which is made up of our officers from across the council. And that gives us a way of having two-way communication with the ICT, so we can understand any issues that are going on across the service, find a way of resolving those issues, but also feedback up and coming changes that might be coming into the service. And that has proved really popular in terms of the communication, which previously had been a bit lacking with IT, I think. We're also looking at reviewing and consolidating our systems. So we have an awful lot of different ICT systems across the organisation. All have their own support costs, all require different skills in order to support them. So we're proactively looking at how we can reduce the number of systems that we have across the organisation. As systems come up for renewal, we're looking at whether there's anything else in the council we already have that could deliver that service. And we've just started a major project across, for example, planning, land charges, environmental services licensing, where we're looking at whether we can procure a single system to replace multiple systems that we have. So that's an example of something at the moment that we are actively doing. That could offer us potentially massive savings where we are consolidating, and also means that it's a lot easier to support the systems than we have now. We've also introduced quarterly service level agreement meetings with all heads of service. So the ICT manager meets with all heads of service now on a regular basis and works with them to specifically look at what their service needs are so that we can understand that going forward and we can plan that in, what development opportunities there are, any issues they're experiencing. And that's helping us to plan a lot more work, and previously we were very responsive, and what we're trying to be doing is a bit more proactive in how we consider our work for the future, any investment that's going to be required. So that's been a real benefit to us in terms of that. We're looking at opportunities to implement mobile and field working. So instead of the work being determined by the office location, we're looking at the different tools that we can provide to our officers to enable them to do the work where they need to be. So that could be in a resident's home, out in the field, on a building site. And what we've done is we've come up with, instead of just saying, right, we're going to order 300 laptops, we've identified different worker styles to each job role. And that worker style then comes with a different set of IT opportunities as to whether you might want something like a Surface or an iPad or a laptop, what mobile phone capability you may need. And so again, by working with all of the services to identify that worker style, that helps us plan the investment that we need to make in technology more efficiently and more effectively. And obviously improves efficiency in terms of people being able to do their roles. We've looked at training development, not just within the ICT team, but actually of officers as well. So with the implementation of Office 365, we've made sure we've had specific training around that. And we work with the learning and development team to identify other opportunities. So recently there are being drop-in sessions for officers to go and see a specialist in things like Microsoft Word or Excel, where we've identified that people regularly are asking us questions around that, so we're trying to deliver better support in terms of those opportunities. We also have to keep developing our own skills in ICT as technology moves on, to make sure that we're able to support the products that we're bringing in ourselves, so there's quite a lot going on there in terms of that. We did a restructure of the ICT team at the same time as a year ago when we did the customer experience team as well. And that was about identifying some of the gaps we had within that team. And so we brought in some more technical skills that we hadn't had, particularly around development of systems, website, development of forms, to make sure that we can meet that future demand upon the service. And we continue to look at that. So as we move to a more flexible working environment, smarter working, our help desk support have to change. At the moment, it's very much kind of 9-to-5 type environment, and we're going to have to consider how that needs to change in order to meet people more working at home, working out of district, working later, earlier. So we continue to review what we're doing. We've implemented a backup generator just to make sure that we are resilient in terms of if power goes down, and that's about what we can shut actually all of our systems down without them just going off and damaging the systems. And we've also introduced an off-site backup arrangements with Leicester City Council, so we have got extra resilience that anything that we do here is backed up off-site. So if this building were to burn down, etc., we know that we've got security in terms of data being backed up off-site, and we can get access to that if necessary. And then finally, I put there with it, that we're obviously always supporting any of the corporate service initiatives. As I've mentioned, smart working, the changes around office accommodation. You know, day to day, we have to support all of those and look at how we can make sure that we've got the resources to do so. So we do a lot of having to look at resource planning and look at those corporate agendas that are happening. And then the final area is around the technical agenda, and this is about making sure that our systems are robust, reliable, effective, and have a resilient infrastructure so that we can deliver ICT in the most effective way. So we do support approximately 575 staff, which obviously include councillors, yourselves, all of the CBC staff, Capita that we have on site. We deliver the contact centre for Harborough District Council, We have some of the county staff for our HR and health and safety functions and fusion partners. So we have to support an awful lot of users across the whole site and in some places off site as well. We are looking at how we can improve our server capacity and resilience. So we are doing an assessment of cloud-based facilities to host our infrastructure. And that is about giving us better opportunity to increase our resilience, being scalable in terms of what we need to go onto those servers and storage. But also it helps us with things like our energy consumption. Now, our server room has to be air conditioned 24 hours a day. It consumes a lot of energy. So in terms of our green agenda, that will help towards that. That's a big project. It might not sound very big, but it actually is a big project if we want to move all of our hardware and go into a cloud-based environment.
Sorry,
Councillor Brooks.
Just coming back to what you've just said there about the server room being air conditioned and it being part of your green agenda.
Yeah.
If you do move to a cloud-based system, all you're doing is moving that air conditioning unit to an off-site source, aren't you? So would that...
No, it's virtual. So they're not real servers then, in terms of what we're looking at would be virtual. So they wouldn't be on site here under Charnwood, they'd be part of, it could be Amazon's cloud, it could be a variety of different. So yes, I appreciate what you're saying, it's in another location, there could be some of that. It depends what option, and we think we're going to have to go with a hybrid option. But they're more likely to have more efficient ways of handling those servers in terms of cooling, etc., than what we have.
Okay.
So, and we will even look at the air conditioning that we have is just general room. There's more efficient ways of doing what's called, let me think, it's either called column air conditioning, where you only cool specific areas of a room as opposed to the whole room. So it's particularly around the fans and that side of things that need to be cooled. So there are better ways of doing it more efficiently. Ours is just in a room with everything going.
Okay.
So it's maybe a combination.
Thank you.
So, okay. So that's a big piece of work that we're currently looking at. We've mentioned about the upgrade of the corporate telephony system, and again that was about facilities and resilience. We've recently upgraded our BDI environment to make sure on the latest version of that, which again increases the resilience and stops the issues that we have had with some of that.
Councillor Murphy.
The corporate telephone system, are we still hiding behind with old numbers?
Are we still
hiding behind with old numbers?
We still have withheld numbers. You can't see that you're calling from here. Yes.
Why is that?
I'd like to be able to give you a real answer, but I can't, other than that is a decision that has been made and it's never been questioned. So it's not something that I have asked why we are doing that, in all honesty. It's something that as an organisation we have chosen to do, but I can't tell you why that decision was made at that time. We don't have to.
A lot of residents who won't answer with our number when they're trying to make inquiries to council, we spend a lot of money customer service, and then when there's a problem they have to contact the residents. They won't, lonely old people won't answer with our numbers. Not your fault.
No, but we do. It's something that we consider, and certainly where we try and ring customers back and they don't accept calls from withheld numbers, we, for example, in the contact centre have a mobile phone there then that we'll then call them back on so that they can see a number, but it's a mobile number. But I mean, it's a single, we still advertise generally a single, we have for Harborough, we have a single number that comes in, we have a variety of different numbers. Personally, I'd like to see where we get to a single number for ourselves and make it easier, because there's all sorts of numbers out there. Again, it's something we can take back and we can consider.
I work for a company and we moved office. I couldn't keep the same number, so we had to make special arrangements to keep that number.
Yeah.
Pay extra for it.
Yeah.
And it goes out because everybody knows the company number.
I think it can certainly be raised and we can look at why. I don't think it's... I've not had it raised to me before as an issue, but it's certainly something we can consider.
Thinking about it, yes, it is an issue. I have calls from here and they're withheld numbers.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's probably the offices. And I can probably understand that. But if it's somebody answering a query from Charnwood Borough Council, something that they've put up, and Charnwood Borough Council are ringing them to answer that query, I can't see the reason why Charnwood Borough Council shouldn't come up
on the call. No, I don't disagree.
So if it is something that you could take back, please, that would be very good. Councillor Murphy.
But the problem we have now, we're not allowed as a business to answer when we're mobile and we're driving along. It's corporate manslaughter charge and so forth. So if we generally have a withheld number of ringers, we have a clue it is. So that's another reason to try and get rid of the withheld number.
Yeah, I'll take it as an action.
I think, if you can genuinely think of a reason why it's withheld, then, we'd probably like to know why it's withheld. Yeah, if there's no reason, then stop it.
I can't think, because actually, a lot of officers, when they send letters out, have their direct dial number on anyway from that perspective. The contact centre make very few outgoing calls. It's generally all incoming calls. The only issue I could see there is potentially if one officer was calling somebody back and there was no answer, if they then tried to ring them back in a contact centre problem, they would never be able to get directly back through to that individual because they're constantly on calls. But I don't think that's a good enough reason not to. I could just foresee that's something we'd need to overcome.
Yeah.
But I've made an action to consider that.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I mentioned about the VDI environment, we upgraded that recently. And then also we have what's called a regular IT health check completed, which is an external company that comes in and they spend about a week. They come in and do some work internally in our system, so they look at any issues, any opportunities for any security risks. They do penetration testing, so they'll work from outside the organisation as well and see if they can break anything, essentially get into anywhere that they shouldn't be able to get into. And then they provide us with a report that will highlight risks, anything that's red, that's very high, that we need to address quite quickly, and they'll make recommendations for that. So we just had that completed last week, and we'll get the next report in the next 4 weeks. But that's an external view to make sure that we are as secure as
possible. Councillor Brooks.
Thank you. Will that be visible to councillors to say, or...?
It normally goes to audit committee.
Okay.
From that perspective, in terms of that report, the report that comes back is incredibly technical.
Yep.
And then Eamon, who's the ICT manager, will then put that into some sort of words that we can all understand. But yes, it is usually reported back through that process. As I have touched on, we have started to roll out Office 365 across the organisation. So we've got a programme of that runs now until the autumn time across the whole organisation. And that brings with it a whole variety of different tools that we can use and benefit from, and puts us on a modern platform in terms of all of our Outlook and Office requirements. That will allow us to do things like Skype for Business as well, whereas we currently don't utilise that particularly well, and we haven't used the video conferencing facility that we used to have. And then moving on to upgrading of SharePoint as well. So our intranet, we've done some work on upgrading SharePoint, and we'll continue to look at how that can be developed. We refreshed all of our printers and our printer contract. So we've now got multifunctional devices. We obviously reduced the number of devices, and we made fairly significant savings on that contract, in excess of 100,000. And then finally, probably one of the most important things is obviously we constantly work to make sure we're compliant with all the security requirements. And that means regularly adding patches onto our systems to update our systems with any new viruses, breaches, threats that are notified to us. So at different times when you'll get messages that say, the systems are going to go down over the weekend around hours, that's because we've had new notification that we need to add new patches onto the system. So that is ultimately a significant requirement. So that brings me to the end. In terms of, again, I think we've shown that we've made significant progress against the ICT strategy. There continues to be an awful lot of work to do, and the team are constantly juggling the resources that we have to order to meet the demands that we have placed upon the team. But we are trying to improve the way we work with teams, and particularly communication about what we're doing. Sitting over in a separate building can sometimes seem IT is quite isolated. We are trying to get out there more and work with people more about what we're doing.
Okay. You'll be glad to know that there's only one question from me anyway. And that is the strategy, when it's written, who will be the audience for that? Who are you writing it for?
The one that's written at the moment, for me, is very internal. It's not a customer-facing document.
No.
I appreciate it's out there and it is online. I don't think that's a customer-facing document. And I'm not sure it should be.
Okay.
for me, that underpins the customer service strategy, which should be the customer facing. How we actually do what we're doing, how we deliver it, I don't think necessarily needs to be in that level of detail in the public domain. It's about the outcome.
Is it in the public domain?
Yes, it is.
Yes. So yes. Could there not be two? A preface to it in less jargonistic, if that's a word, language. A short introduction to it, as in what you've really just said to us, the security. I don't know.
There could be, absolutely. The strategy was obviously done and written before I came here. If we felt that it was important to have take that off and put something in its place that was a summary essentially of what we're looking to do, that could be written and put on there.
Something to accompany it, obviously not replace the technical language, because there's a lot of people, Matt understands all of this and they probably understand the jargon, whereas I wouldn't, but I would read the introduction bit. Okay. And I think if you're putting something in the public domain, you've got to expect that the public will read it.
Yes.
At least some of it. Yeah. So, does anybody want to comment? Councillor Harris.
I know this is not the forum for particular personal problems with the system, but there is a problem that half a dozen people have got, which is inability sometimes to get onto Outlook.
Right.
And the technical people fix it every time, but they haven't been able to get to the bottom of why it's happening. I don't know whether they have since I went in the last time, but I've had to take my machine in about three times, I think, and they've managed to fix it another three times by taking over my screen. So they've fixed it very efficiently each time, but it is a bit of a pain having to bring it in and leave it. And it's not just me, there's half a dozen people, including officers. And my question is that in a situation like this, that they really need to get to the bottom of why it's happening. Mm-hmm. And they've told me several times we can fix it. It seems strange that they can fix it but don't know what it is. If they could get to the bottom of it, it would be helpful to those half dozen people.
I might be one of them.
Okay.
You are as well.
If I can interject, Karen Widdowson, I am aware of this issue and I can talk to you out of the meeting.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Matt Brooks, please.
Just two questions that both kind of relate to each other. Have we had any data breaches here? And has there been any sort of hack or any attacks on our system, and has that caused us any problems at all? That's my first question.
Okay.
The second question is the data that's kept off site at Leicestershire County?
Backup, yeah.
The backup, is that kept completely independent from our network and our system? So obviously, if we did get a hack attack, they won't be able to access the backup as well.
Okay, so the first question. We have had data breaches, but not related to IT hacking. So
okay.
We haven't had any breaches through somebody hacking into our system.
Yep.
The organisation has had data breaches through individuals making mistakes, etc.
Yep.
And they're all reported according to. In terms of your second question, if I can take that offline, because I would need to clarify with Eamon exactly in terms of whether it's completely isolated.
Yep.
I haven't got the detail of that with me. So if I could come back to you on that specific point with an answer on that.
Thank you.
David Snart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. A couple of things. The first one is that you were talking about looking at the planning portal, I think, and moving it into somewhere else or a different way of it. A lot of people have a tremendous amount of problems with the planning portal and can't get onto it. I wondered if any work was doing on that, or will it all go away once you get onto this new planning?
The portal that I'm talking about, unfortunately, is nothing to do with planning. The portal is for all of the online forms that we have and to bring some of the other accounts. The planning portal is a national portal that we have no influence specifically over. So we regularly, through Richard etc., hear of issues that people have with the planning portal, but from our ICT services we have no influence at all over that, and that won't be something we can bring within our own portal because it is a national thing. So very sorry, but no, that is nothing that we can do at the moment will influence the planning
portal. But will, you were talking about a new way of doing this, I think, early on. Will that change then when you do that, or is it still going to be the same?
No, because even if we brought the planning portal within our own portal, it will just be a view into it. It won't change the functionality of the portal. So that's something, unfortunately, we can't change.
Okay. And the other one was Councillor Harris brought up, and I, you know, when you have to ring up to get on again to the system, it just doesn't let me on. But the ICT people have got me a wraparound now to how to get over it.
Right.
So I have to do that every time. But it is something that I've brought up before with Matt, and I've not heard any more.
Right, okay.
But I can work around it.
Right, well, I'll
put it. I don't know if it's the same as your good selves.
No, it's a different
way. Okay, if we've not had a discussion over the table, so, but
I'll pick those. Kind
of Widdowson will convey what's going on. Thank you very much. And any other questions, comments? Thank you very much for a good two presentations. And go home and put your feet up now. Right, the work programme, this is the final meeting of the group for 2018-19 council year. With the exception of one item, the group has completed its work programme for the year. The remaining item is to scrutinise the development of the local plan. It will be taken up by the relevant committees in the new scrutiny structure that comes into operation in the new council year. This is my last council meeting.
Thanks very much.
Last policy, anyway, might be my last council meeting, but it's certainly my last policy meeting. So thank you very much for participating in this and making it a success. So much of a success that it's going to be something else next time. But thank you very much. Good night.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
That was really good.
Yes, very good. Thank you.